is the man behind the NutraHealth365.com company and brand. It's a great company. He set it up, he told me a couple of years ago when we first met, because obviously it's important to be looking at solutions, health solutions for people to better prepare themselves for winters and all of that. But he also wanted to do his bit for the independent media, and he wasn't lying. He's worked in the civil service in Ireland. Let's welcome to the programme our friend, the one and only Eamon Blaney. Good evening, Eamon. How are you?
Good evening, Richie. How are you doing?
It's mental, isn't it? Straight away, a friend of ours in Cleggan is going to text me saying, it is insane that Eamon can be in Thailand, you can be in Salford, and we don't have all the problems we used to have years ago when we had to do it over the telephone. It's stunning to hear you in such high quality. What time is it there?
Oh, well, it is. It's now 11:30 at night.
It's 11:30 in Thailand. And whereabouts are you in this? It's an Thailand is an island, is it? No, it isn't. It isn't.
Oh?
Is it an island?
God, no. It's a big country. It's a big country.
It's attached to Asia, yeah.
And lifelong friend, he lives down here. And as a result of that, I just came down and we're looking at a few things, a few products maybe that we might bring back and sell. A lot of very, very interesting stuff down here. So that's kind of really why I'm here.
And is it your first visit there? By the way, my geography is embarrassing.
Oh, no.
You've been down before.
Oh, no, my friend is. No, my friend Richie's been here for well over 10 years. So I've been over and back to him a few times over the last decade. But it's a lovely place. It's very different, and the weather's gorgeous and the food is good and the people are nice. And it's just it's a break from the constant barrage of things that afflict us back home, because you know, it gets to you as well, you know, when you listen to it and when you're so sort of emotionally invested, I suppose, in what's going on, it's good to get away and proper away, you know.
Sounds good. Right. We'll talk about Ireland in a moment. So I want to explore this. So you've been down to Thailand several times. There's a different vibe there. Mm-hmm. So when on this particular show, when we talk about there being a lockstep movement around the world to push us all further and further into authoritarianism, you're saying, mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it hasn't reached Thailand, or at least the Thai people are unaware of it. How does it work?
Well, I suppose I wouldn't be an expert in the culture, but my perception is that they are a very proud nation of people, and they're extremely sort of loyal to their country. You know, they won't take any other currency other than the Thai baht, you know, under any circumstances, whereas in lots of other countries you go to, they'll take US dollars and things like that. And they seem to just get on with what they're getting on with. And that's what they get on with. And they're not interested, or they don't appear to be interested in this World Economic Forum agenda that's been pushed all over the world. It seems to me, and having traveled a fair bit over the last number of years, it seems to me that what we hear, because our media is so completely controlled and paid for by our governments and multinationals, that we only hear one side of it, which is their side. But there's another side, and normal people really aren't interested in what they're being told. And that's why they've stopped listening to the mainstream media. That's why, you know, we're heading towards a place where people in the UK and Ireland, you can't even, you could have somebody on the television lying straight at you, and they could be holding a very senior position, paid for God knows who. And so at this stage, people just go, I don't believe that. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what's that about. It's nothing to do with me. I'm too busy trying to exist or survive or just to live. And here, that's what they're doing. People just get on with living. And that's it. There's, you know, you never hear chat about the stuff that we're constantly bombarded with. You know, the whole pronouns thing, you know, the climate change, the this, the that. You know, it's kind of like what things used to be 20 years ago back home, you know?
It's funny that wokeness hasn't...
In that sense, it's very refreshing, very refreshing.
Very refreshing. It's funny that wokeness hasn't made its way down there, but then, and I don't really say this for a laugh, but people might laugh, the Thai culture and the ladyboy phenomenon, that's been around for years and years and years and years and years, hasn't it? So there's always been a ladyboy population, but there was never, that never seemed to imposition the people of Thailand because, well, you had a ladyboy population and they're not asking for much really other than just to be left alone to work, to do their thing.
And this is the point, they are left alone and nobody bats an eyelid and nobody... You carry on. You're either a nice person or you're not a nice person. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Nobody goes around defining themselves by their chosen sexuality or chosen gender. You know, they just are who they are. And like everybody else, some people are nice and some people are not nice. That's it. And they don't get hung up on it.
They don't.
And they don't seem to have this. They don't have this whole obsession with, you know, look at me. I'm this. I am that. You must refer to me as this. You must call me that. There's none of that nonsense. None of that nonsense.
I invited Eamon on. This isn't an infomercial. Eamon has been sponsoring the programme for a couple of years. I invited him on because he's worked in Ireland's civil service and he was profoundly affected by, as every one of us was, by the events of 2020. And the events of 2020 have led to him doing what he's doing now and running NutriHealth365.com. So go back to 2020 then. And tell us, working in the civil service, what, how you experienced all of that.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it was the civil service kind of saved my ass back in 2020 because that's when I started with them. And I worked with the revenue and brilliant people to work with. Absolutely fantastic. But things took sort of a slightly different bent when I moved to a different department. But the less said about that at the moment, the better.
Right.
But suffice to say, at the time when COVID broke out, like everybody else, I was freaked out going, this sounds really serious. And like everybody else, we managed to somehow get a miraculous 3 or 4 weeks of brilliant sunshine in March and April of that year. And so I'm sitting around the garden sort of like, now what are we all going to do? And then I sort of, the more I looked into the lockstep between the reports coming out of the States and out of the UK or Ireland or Europe or wherever, the EU, the WHO. And I'm sort of going, hold on a second here. There's no way. There's no way. And then I think the clangor for me was when the British government introduced their emergency legislation, they introduced it about a week after the WHO decided we had a major problem. The piece of legislation that went through the House of Commons was about, I think if my memory serves me, it was about 387 pages of That's legislation. Right. Now, you know, and I know civil servants or lawyers do not operate at that space, at that speed. That was on the shelf waiting to go. And I sort of went, hold on, there's something very fishy about this. And anyway, the more I looked into it, the more I realized the censorship was taking place. The more I realized when you see Nobel Prize winners in medicine or immunology being shut down, cancelled, put off Facebook, put off Twitter. And I'm going, this is very nefarious. Something here really doesn't sound right to me. And so I started trying to find out who are the truth tellers, who's making sense here. And, you know, the late Zed Zelenko did a huge amount of work very early on in terms of finding a protocol to assist people who may have got this virus. And, you know, he was shut down straight away. And I decided, like, the more I read, the more I realized one of the biggest issues here is that people have a very severe vitamin D deficiency, or insufficiency, as the medical profession prefer to call it, or an inadequacy. They don't say you're low or you don't have enough. They use these bigger words. And I sort of thought, well, it's cheap, it's available, I'll be having that and I'll be getting it into me. So I did. And then what I found out, the more I saw about it, I realized that the sort of, along with vitamin D, you should be taking probably vitamin K2. Because it actually helps in case you take too much vitamin D. Like, in terms of toxicity of vitamin D, I mean, you have to take bucket loads of it to have any noticeable effect. And the safe limit, let's say, in the UK is 4,000 IU a day. And they don't say that's the safe limit. They just say that we have never seen any adverse reactions up to that level. So up to yourself. I know Dr. John Campbell, who is on YouTube, like John takes 8,000 IUs a day. And it depends on your age. It depends on your skin color. People with darker skin can produce much less vitamin D than people who have light colored skin. If you're overweight, vitamin D can, let's say, get lost in your system and get trapped by the fat, and you don't get as much benefit from it. So there's so many of these nuances. And the more I looked into it, I ended up anyway buying five bottles of stuff. And I couldn't, I found it really difficult to get quercetin at the time. And I ended up five bottles that cost me about £110 or something like that.
Jesus, that's a lot of money.
And I'm going, this is mad. What's going on here, lads? This is crazy. So I decided, well, I looked for anything, any supplement company that would provide me with what I knew I wanted to take. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I said, well, okay, well, being the person I am, I suppose, I just said, well, if nobody else is doing it, I better look into it. So I did. And I went head and ears into it for about a year while working full time. And, you know, we pulled the business together, and my friend Richie here in Thailand, and he agreed to come on board with me as well. We bootstrapped it with nothing. We got a very small injection of cash from another friend of mine, and he did, you know, fair play to him. And we managed to just, because thankfully, having been around as long as I am, I'm 60 years of age now, you know, I have been in business probably 40 odd years, and thankfully I've got a reasonably good education. And I knew how to go through this process. You know, I bought my first computer, for example, in 1981. Okay. So I've been playing with the internet for...
Wow. Right. What was that in 1981, as a matter of interest? Some sort of Spectrum, wasn't it?
It was a Sinclair ZX81. And I got it. I lust after the Spectrum. It was color. The ZX81 wasn't. It only had 1K of RAM. 1K, your phone has 16,000 million bits. It had 1,000. So, you know, I've been playing with, and I remember my father, God rest him, he said to me at the time, he said, I saved up all summer because I was so excited about this new computer thing, because I thought they would be big in business and I was going to go into business at some stage. I was only about 17. And he looked at me and said, what in the name of Jesus are you wasting your money on that thing for? So what's that? What can that do? And of course, I couldn't answer him. But there we are 40 odd years later, and I now have an online business, you know, so everything comes around in its own good
time.
Yeah,
and it's important. I'm going to ask the naive question. So all of your research led you to understand that it was established knowledge medically that vitamin D3, vitamin K, zinc, quercetin, that these were very, very good things to ingest, and that these would help you offset or deal with seasonal health problems. So the naive question is then, why over the years haven't our governments, the health departments of our governments, why haven't they tailored their policies around winter time, around autumn time, right, to get these supplements and vitamins into people, Eamon?
Well, look, I asked the same question and I couldn't get a straight answer. And if you look at our health authorities, whether they're anywhere in Europe, UK, Ireland, wherever, to say that they may be subject to external influence might be a misstatement.
Right.
There's reasons why the answer to, like, I think is in the United States at the moment, I think it's the same in Ireland, actually. I think a third of all children are on antidepressant medication or medication for ADHD or this, or, and primarily what it appears to me from the research I've done, and I'm no doctor, no medical person, but I'm not stupid either. And, you know, it's sort of, if you look at the incidence of illness, particularly in children, you just say there's something badly wrong here. Now, when I was growing up, and when you were growing up in Ballybeg, you know, you came home from school, you dropped your bag, you went out on the road with the ball and you kicked around.
Yeah.
And you stayed out until dinner was ready at 7 o'clock and that was it.
Yeah.
So you had 3 or 4 hours out in the sunshine or just out in the daylight. Now children are just indoors all day, every day. They're not getting any sunlight. And when they do go out, the television has them completely, their parents freaked out that if the sun hits them, they're going to die of climate change. And you're going, this is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense. They're putting sunscreen on children constantly. You know, and if you train your skin to go, like, I'm in Thailand, I wouldn't put sunscreen of any sort on me.
Hang on, let me jump in there, my friend. What do you mean train your skin?
You train your skin, basically, you know, depending on the literature or which doctor you want to listen to or expert, they'll say what you should do is you should go for 15 minutes on your front, 15 minutes on your back. Do that every day for a week.
Right.
After a week, you will then be able to maybe go for half an hour front and back. And after about 2 weeks of that, you're basically, when I was in the Middle East, I was working out in Oman, you know, temperatures, whatever it would
extreme,
be,
yeah.
50 degrees centigrade, blazing sunshine. I never use sunscreen, ever. Now, somebody's going to say, well, you're going to probably die of, you know, skin cancer or something. Well, I'll deal with that when the time comes. But you know what I mean? The sun is like the incidence of cancer between the equator and let's say the North Pole and the South Pole. They increase all types of cancer. The prevalence increases the further you get away from the sun.
Is that now, right? Because I've read this before.
Is there any correlation? Is there any causation? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think maybe if I took my vitamin D, it might be useful. And that's all I'd say. It might be useful. And all I'd say is since I started the company and since I got the very first bottle off the production line in Oxford, I haven't been sick once of anything. And I don't train. I don't, I'm exactly as you would expect a single 60-year-old man to behave. Or probably not really, but probably, you know what I mean?
I know exactly
I'm
what
not
you
looking
mean,
after
yeah.
myself the way I should. No, I don't do what you do every day.
No, and last, you know, I took a more serious approach to my supplement regimen last winter, from last autumn. And I went the entirety of last winter and spring without sneezing or sniffing once. So people can make what they want of that. Let me remind our listeners, Eamon Planey is on the line from Thailand. Eamon is an Irish entrepreneur. He's the man behind NutriHealth365.com, which has been very supportive of the independent media. His products are produced ethically. I know this, otherwise I wouldn't be saying it. If supplements are for you, and if you plan on taking a supplement to help you get through this coming winter and spring, get over to NutriHealth365.com and check it out. So I've read this as well, this thing that the further away you go from the warmer countries, the more cancer is prevalent, including skin cancers. I find that utterly bizarre, but it seems to be true. And I remember years ago, Eamon, I interviewed a doctor on this program. She's a beautiful woman. I must get her back on. It's been a long time. She's Canadian, French-Canadian. Her name is Ghislaine Langto. Another doctor that was struck off because she had the nerve to challenge, you know, what you might call existing medical thinking. Lovely woman. And she said the same thing. She said, this thing about being scared of the sun, we need that vitamin D3. We need that vitamin D. She said to me at the time, people need to know how vital it is in terms of boosting your immune system and fighting off the crap that you might be exposed to in the winter.
Well here's the thing, Richie. You have to recall or have to remember at all times, no harm to them, but the people in Big Pharma have got one objective, and that is to make money, and a lot of it, by any means necessary, legal or otherwise. They have paid such horrendously, some of the biggest fines in corporate history have been paid by pharma.
Billions, yeah.
So their job is to make money. That's their job, right? If everybody is well, their profits will fall. That stands to reason. So if you want to prove the vitamin D3 is good for you and prevent you from getting illness, you need to do a proper double-blind randomized controlled study. And to do that, it'll cost you probably up to 10 million quid. Now, if I had the 10 million quid, I'd do it in the morning. Yeah. But I don't. And these people, they can't, there's no point in them doing it, because if it turns out that it's good for you and prevents illness, well, then that's not going to help their case at all. If, you know, if they do the study, regardless of the outcome, everybody else gets access to that study result. So therefore, they've invested all the money and everybody else gets the benefit. So consequently, we're stuck in this sort of no man's land where nobody will do the study. Governments won't do it, which they should. I really do think that the likes of the NHS or the HSE or one of the regulatory bodies should instigate some, because potentially it is so cheap. It's so relatively inexpensive.
That's
and
it,
potentially
isn't it?
Has huge. Now, that being said, there's a load of studies, and you know, you'll see them online, and they'll say, no, there's no connection. There's no defined benefit. We did a study, we did a meta-analysis. There's no benefit. Then there's other people say, huge benefit. Now, as a supplement producer, I'm not allowed to make any claim at all, and therefore I can't and won't. Now, if I met you in the pub, I might tell you a few things, but publicly, all I can say is this is what we supply, and it's a, you know, it's a legal substance. If you think it's good for you, buy it. And, you know, if you don't think it's any use, don't buy it.
But, Eamon,
that's all we can say.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, we know anecdotally, we know that the evidence is in. We know this because particularly in the last 3 years, we know that great many numbers of people began so horrified by what happened in 2020, were they, that they began looking into what they could do for their elderly relatives when it came to autumn, winter, spring. So thousands of people, and this is well evidenced right across the internet and even in your own neighbourhoods, thousands of people listening to shows like this and shows with bigger, much bigger audiences than this began to do it, began to say to gran, to granddad, to mum, right, vitamin D3, zinc, quercetin, have this, can't do you any harm whatsoever, it's not going to do you any harm, it's good, no side effects from it, have it. And the evidence is in. It certainly has.
I'm glad you can say that, Richie.
Well, I can say because it's true. I'm living proof of it. Because once
I can't.
No, you're not allowed to say it by law.
I can't.
You're not allowed to say it by law. Yeah, but it is.
But the other thing is,
true,
is that the other thing we realise as well is that, you know, when you looked at the likes of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and how they were just immediately shut down, how the NIH in the FDA in the States was telling people to stop eating horse paste.
Yeah,
and this was a drug that I think there has been over 4 billion doses given over the last 30 years. It's called the Sunday drug in parts of Africa because everybody takes it on a Sunday to stop them getting river blindness or dengue fever or whatever. It is so safe. It's staggering. It's much safer than aspirin, by the way. And that's a fact. And yet, anybody who mentioned anything that might interfere with the emergency use authorization for these so-called vaccines was shut down.
Some were struck off.
Ivermectin was, if it was shown to be effective, well, then all the vaccines would have to stop immediately. You know, so we could go down that rabbit hole, but what's the point? Bottom line is, I think people listening to your show are probably much more informed than the vast majority of the population, and they'll make their own educated choices.
But Eamon, what you've said to me today, without, you know, there's only so far you can go. Look, as I said, I've had GPs, I've had Ivy League academics on this programme who have said the things you claim on the website NutriHealth365.com. They've said it's a very, very clever and a very safe thing to do, and it's going to help you get through the winter, and it's going to seriously limit, you know, you coming down with a seasonal illness over the course of the winter. So it isn't just you or anybody else. I've had academics say this. Yeah. Yeah.
But the other thing, Richie, is that what a lot of people don't seem to know is that when you have sufficient levels of vitamin D, now, I mean, the recommended level in the UK is 20 nanograms per milliliter. And, you know, I'm at 50 and I would like to be more like 55, 60, because that's from the literature I've read and the people I trust in this field. And I, you know, people who've spent their lives studying it, they think that's the level you need to be at. And I'm going, well, that I'll do that. Why not? There's no side effects, so why wouldn't I? And so I'm convinced that for something so relatively inexpensive and for something that potentially could do so much good, well, I'm just going, well, I'm 60 years of age. Maybe I should just do that.
Just
why
do
not?
That, yeah.
And that's where I'm at. And that's what I found amazing. And it was really, really good. And, you know, we wouldn't be in business if it wasn't for you, by the way. We started advertising with you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Our business is built on you, basically, and we're incredibly grateful for that and all the support you've given us over the years. But, you know, we're just a small company. We're trying to do the right thing. And like I say, when I'm over here in Thailand, I'm going to visit a beauty products manufacturer that does all sort of, they've got herbs out here that you've never heard of, you know what I mean?
Well, but they can I have ask you a question
products
on that
they use themselves.
You've just segued neatly into a question. So we've got about 4 minutes left. So
right.
I am unsurprised, because when this topic comes up, it's always one that grabs people and they want to have their say on it. So I've had a number of questions and comments for you. John is listening with interest. What does Eamon think, or even as you, and this is not to put you on the spot now, because obviously no problem if you haven't. He's mentioned Kratom or Kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M. He says it's a popular supplement in Thailand, although he says it's controversial because there might be a high from it. But it's legal to buy in the UK. Go ahead.
Yes, well, this is the other issue, and this is why I'm out here, actually, is because like we're looking at something that's you know, like those menthol sort of inhalers that you get to clear your blocked nose.
Yes.
You know, that you'll, you know, I won't mention the brand name, but they're, you know, they're for sale.
Now, there's a natural version of that here. But the natural version, after we dug down into it and talked to them, found out that it has a substance in it that is not legal in the UK.
Right.
So that's that one out the window. You know what I mean? So there's an awful lot to be learnt out here. And that's why, you know, you can try and do it from the other side of the world, but, you know,
Eamon, why,
on the ground, and we have some local people.
Sorry to interrupt again. Why would it be illegal over here? Would that be because of pharmaceutical companies lobbying, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's possible. That's possible. They do spend more money. I think it's 11 times more than every other industry put together in terms of actually lobbying the EU. So, I mean, who knows? But you can, I'm sure your readers or your listeners can draw their own conclusions to that.
Yeah, and if I don't ask this, I'll be murdered. because a number of listeners are asking, can you ship to Europe? So Spain, Portugal, for example.
We have a number of countries in Europe that we do ship to that are on the website. We can't, like Spain, we can't, because the courier companies in Spain constantly lose everything.
Give up.
And that's the end of it. And I'm like, yeah, it's a disaster. It's unbelievable in this day and age that they can't do that. But like, if you go, the thing is, anybody who's got other questions, and we, you know, we have only got a minute or two left, you know, get onto the website, get into the contact form, send that. I'll read it, or my colleague Richard will read it, and we'll get straight back to them.
Very
you know,
good.
And if there's any questions out there that anybody has about anything, give us a shout. We'll, you know, our phone number's on every bottle. You know, chances are I'll answer the phone. You know, so we'll do whatever we can. And the other thing I wanted to say, Richie, today before I left you was, one of the things that we're, you know, that I'm very keen on this idea of all of us, and I, when I say all of us, in the, let's say in the Richie Allen family and people like us, I think we all need to stick together. I think in these really weird times, I think that we really need to support each other in any way we can. And to that end, like, if there's any producers that are UK producers or Irish producers that are have complementary products and they might not be technically adept as I am or we are, and we may help them to sell their products on our website or something like that, give us a shout. You know, and let's see, can we all lift each other's boats?
Yeah, brilliant, Eamon.
And that's what I would like to do.
The website is NutraHealth365.com. You're listening to, you have been listening to Eamon Blaney. Eamon is in Thailand at the moment. That was fascinating. Very quick final one.
Yes.
Irish sea moss. Is that any good? Have you ever come across that?
I've heard a lot about it. And it's got, apparently it's got three different types of magnesium in it. And it is incredibly good for you. But again, just like the vitamin D, to a lesser extent, there will not have been any proper clinical trials done on it because it's not worth anybody's while doing it. But you'll have a producer out there somewhere in the west of Ireland who's making it, and they are doing well, and it's got very big in the States, you know, and something we've actually looked at as well. But there's so many things that are good for you that nobody knows about, you know, and what we're trying to do is fine. And that's why all our products are, for example, you know, deep sleep is to help you if you have sleep problems, and ImmuneX is for your immunity system, and the joint pain or joint health, anti-inflammatory. Ours are, all our products are sort of issue specific.
Yes.
You know, you got this, take that. Instead of going, well, what you really need is vitamin B44 and you know, and it just gets too confusing. And you end up with 40 bottles of stuff in your counter and you don't know when you bought them or what they're for, or, you know what I mean?
Brilliant. Eamon,
so we'll try and keep it real.
Well, look, there's a lot more questions. So I would say to people, get over to the website, NutraHealth365.com.
Oh, yeah, we'll answer them all.
And speak to Eamon there.
All.
Happy hunting on the trip to Thailand, and we'll chat when you get back. Great to have you on, Eamon. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks a million, Richard. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All our customers who are your listeners.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, Eamon Blaney, live from Thailand this evening. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show. It's exactly, well, it's just gone, in fact, 6 p.m. here in Seoul. Now, just before we take a musical break and line up Rich to Real, I'm excited about chatting with Rich again. Eamon mentioned during the conversation about his amazement that when the UK first announced restrictions, it had a document which was nearly 400 pages long. This is true, by the way. And a lot of people were very suspicious about it, including a woman who I used to mention quite a lot, but not lately. A woman called Fionnuala Ní Eolain. It's a lovely Irish name. She worked for the United Nations. She is a lawyer, a special rapporteur on the promotion and protection of human rights. Now, just around about the time lockdown was announced, she was on Sky News with Dermot Murnaghan, and she said something very profound. She said, I do not believe that they could cobble together a 380-page document with rules and regulations and legalese. It looks to me, she said, like those pages, that particular document, was sitting around in a drawer somewhere, waiting to be taken out at the appropriate time. She was never heard again on mainstream radio or television. She gave it to us between the eyes. There's something very wrong with this, you know, taking away people's freedoms. And I'm very suspicious, she said. She also said at the time, you know, they won't be very quick to give these, to return these powers, you know. Anyway, listen, this is the Richie Allen Show. I'm Richie Allen. The time now is 3:00.